your Forrest Gump. And put that on a bumper sticker. It would become an overnight sensation. Well, this is our third week of our stewardship campaign, our yearly stewardship campaign. How many of you are saying, well, that's over? We haven't beat you up too bad this year, have we? I haven't come by your house in my old tattered jeans and ratty t-shirt and begged for money that night.
Not yet.
I'll be coming around this week, right? Okay. You're ruining my surprise, Mark. Well, today we do have an opportunity to make a commitment. Who likes commitments? Some people like commitments, right? Commitments are good. It's not a bad thing. Let me get to our scripture this morning. I'll try to keep myself on track this morning. Here are these words from Romans. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And you're going to say to yourself, I've not heard this before. But hear these words this morning. So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercy, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each one of you. We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though, there are many of us. We are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. There are many of us. We are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourselves to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let our hearts be open this morning to the call to service, to use our gifts, our talents, our money. Father, let us use them for the glory of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So my question was to you this morning, when you first became passionate about Jesus Christ in your life. That was a good feeling, wasn't it? Did you want to come to church? Did you want to attend Bible study? Okay, do this. Yes, Pastor, I wanted to do all those things. But I was on fire for Christ. Well, if you're on fire for Christ today, wouldn't you want to shout it from the rooftops?
Amen!
Wouldn't you want to tell someone about it? You hear me stand up here week after week and say that as a true believer in Christ and on fire and sold out for God, how can we go home and crawl into our closet and hide that from the world? It is not possible, is it?
Nope.
It is not possible. So today I'm going to put a little. The heat is going to be, are you living passionately for Christ? Are you doing what God has called us to do? told us in Romans this morning. You all feel like there's a need for revival in our world today?
Yes.
Wow, that's the most raucous response I've ever had. Okay, so you're in agreement with me that we need some revival in our world, don't we?
Amen.
We need revival right here in this church.
Yes.
We can't come to church at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and get up and leave at about 11, whatever time we decide to leave. And then that's it for the week, isn't it? If that was the case, I wouldn't be a pastor. I would just come to some church service and sit there for an hour and go home and watch football or whatever it is. Maybe I could start playing golf again. I like to fish. Maybe I can go fishing again. All those things in my past that I thought I was so passionately devoted to, all of a sudden today don't seem like they're that high on my list anymore. And I sometimes wonder why. Well, I'll take an inventory of my spiritual condition, I would like to think, over the last few years. And I'll put those spiritual things a little higher on my list. So what I'd like to do this morning is for us to examine our own spiritual condition. I want us to re-examine what it means to have that feeling when we first came to Christ. And no matter what anyone did, they couldn't stop us, could they? Do you remember that in your life? Well, you know, some people tell me I've never felt that way. Well, that means we need to spend a little more time in prayer. We need to spend some time asking God, what is it that you would have me do? And as we look at our spiritual inventory, one of the greatest indicators of our spiritual inventory is what? Our stewardship. Used to be a story around pastors, I'm sure, told this over and over. If you want to know where someone's heart is, get their checkbook out and see where their money goes. I know in everyone here that we can open up your checkbooks and on that Sunday there's a huge check wrote to the church, right? Safe to say, can I look at anyone's checkbook and see that this morning? Well, you know I'm not going to do that. Because what that means is, this is an agreement that you've come to with God. It's not an agreement you've come to with Pastor David. It's not an agreement you've come to with a mailman, or the guy that services your car. It's an agreement that you've come to decide with our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what I'm willing to do for the kingdom of God. Now that doesn't necessarily, you've heard us say it over and over, doesn't this mean your money? But like I told you last week, Gary, this is when you dim the lights. No, I'm just kidding. If you remember my line last week, I said I could come in here and leave all the lights off and tell you we couldn't pay the electric bill, we need your money. Well, I'm not going to stoop that low just yet. What I am going to do is tell you that there's need in the world. There's not only a need for your monetary gifts to the church, but there's need for your time, your talents, your gifts. Who here has no gifts? Now, I spoke to some of you and you told me you have no gifts. There are people that think they have no spiritual gifts. There's nothing for them to give to the kingdom of God. I can't do anything. I'm good for nothing. That is so not true. I told you last week, if you got up this morning and you drew a breath, you have something to do with the kingdom of God. Do you wonder why the church is so powerless today? I posted some statistics out here to you this morning. The church seems sort of weak today, doesn't it? As a country, as a nation, as a world, where do we put spiritual life in the equation today? I have my statistics here. I'm looking for them. You know that only 8% of Christians tithe. I wonder why the church is so weak today. Why is it that Halloween has a bigger following and is a bigger deal in our culture than Easter? You believe that only 25% of Christians attend church. If we were to read our workbook here, we can find out that that's not acceptable, is it? We wonder why our churches are in the shape they are today. Why is the church so weak today? And there we go in our spiritual checkbook, okay? As a world, that's a worldwide thing. We in the United States may be suffering more from that than other parts of the world. But there's a direct correlation between our use of what God has given us, our resources, and our spiritual condition. Is that an amen statement? I think that's an amen statement.
Amen.
If you look at our culture's checkbook, I don't think that first check is written to the church, is it? As a church, we've got to be willing to give not just some of ourselves, but all of ourselves to God. That's where it starts. Paul talked about a living sacrifice. Are you a living sacrifice here today, sitting in the pews? Did you hear the scripture this morning? You are a living sacrifice. Before Jesus Christ, the Jewish people had to bring an animal to be slaughtered by the priest. What is that? That's a dead sacrifice. In that culture, you would bring a goat or whatever you were able to buy. I don't think he has vision. That you would bring it to the priest and they would slaughter it and present a dead sacrifice to God. What did Jesus do for us? What did Jesus do on the cross for us? He was our sin sacrifice. Do you know how foreign this train of thought would have been for the people that Paul was talking to? How in the world can we be a living sacrifice? Jesus came and gave himself up on a cross for us. He was our dead sacrifice. From that point forward, we all became living sacrifices. We had something to do for the kingdom of God. We no longer took an animal and had it slaughtered by the priest and say we're good for another year. That's not the way this works. I love the story of the body of Christ. And I love to think of it in a way that if all of us in this room were noses, what would that look like? That means the only work we could do in this church would be to go around and smell things. I've got a pretty good nose, but that's not my most favorite thing to do as a church. We're not all noses. We're not all toes. We'd all be walking around with black eyes, stubbing our toe into everything. That's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is individuals made up of people, believe it or not, just like you and me. Do you feel like you're part of the body? How do you feel about that this morning? Do you feel like you're a body of Christ? You should. We served Matthew meals yesterday. We had 22 people here. I guarantee you there was not 22 people stirring the same pot on the stove. I was there. There were people outside fixing things. The book table. Jane, I saw you working on the book table. And I also know you can cook. But what you did was you used your talents because there was enough cooks in the kitchen. So Jane is special. She has two talents. She can organize a book table and cook. Is she super special? Absolutely she is. But are each one of you super special as well? That's just a little example. You know, a living sacrifice is an offering of ourselves that flows out of an abundant life in Christ. I have a story to tell you here. A famous Russian novelist, Fyodor Dostoevsky. He told the story of a time when he was arrested by the Tsar and sentenced to die. The Tsar liked to play cruel psychological jokes on people. He came to his cell one day and said, "You're going to be executed today. You're going to stand in front of a firing squad and we're going to execute you." So what he would do, a blindfold of people marched them out into the courtyard, ready aim, fire, bang. And the person wasn't shot. They had blanks in their guns. But what he went on to say was that why he became an author to talk about things in God's world, he went through that experience himself. He said that going through the process of dying, believing he was really going to die, had a transforming effect on his life. He talked about what it was like waking up that morning with a full assurance that the day he would die. He talked about eating his last meal, how good it tastes, savoring every bite. When I wolf down my meal, I'm not savoring every bite. If he had that experience, he went outside. The sunshine shone down on him. He felt the warmth of the sun. When I walk outside and feel the warmth of the sun, I'm like, man, it's going to be a hot day today. This is ridiculous. He savored every breath that he took. Every breath was precious to him. Every face he saw, he studied intently, knowing that these may be the last faces I see today. As they marched into the courtyard, he felt everything around him. It had a magical quality to it. He was seeing the world in a way he had never seen it before. When he realized he had been shot, what do you think happened? Oh good, I'm glad the way I was. No, what happened in him? It clicked. Everything about our life, our world is special. We need to pay attention to that. We need to pay attention. I want to end today with a story from Mother Teresa. I love Mother Teresa. She is such an inspiration to me. Mother Teresa was visiting Australia. She was assigned a recruit from the monastery to be her gopher for the day. The young man was so thrilled that he wanted to be just so close to Mother Teresa that he just hung right with her all the day. And he always wanted to have a minute with her. But her busy day didn't allow for them to have a moment together. morning the day was over and she was to fly off to New Guinea. This young seminarian came up to her and said, if I buy a plane ticket, can I have a seat next to you? I just want to talk to you. Mother Teresa was perplexed by this. She says, you have enough money to pay for airfare to New Guinea. Oh, yes, he replied eagerly. Then give the money to the poor. Is that the answer he wanted? You'll learn more from doing that than anything I can tell you. The problem with the young man was that he wanted to experience a feeling. He didn't want to learn just simply by doing. He wanted to have a feeling of being near Mother Teresa. And that's what God wants for us this morning. He wants us to be changed to the core. Are you leaving here today feeling changed? I would hope so. He doesn't want our life fluttering back and forth between Christ and the world. We're in the world. We can't be of the world. Well, that's my prayer for you today. Have you given all to God this morning, or are you holding back? What an appropriate time to announce that I'm going to let you have an opportunity to give to God this morning. Little, can you play something very soft and inspiring and generous? Because I know you've all had these pledge cards for about a week now or so, maybe not quite a week, and some of you have gotten them this morning. What we're going to have an opportunity to do this morning is to come and make a commitment, to make a pledge. Now, is this signed in blood? Did any of us make you sign this with blood? This is not a commitment to me or a commitment to any whim that I can come up with. This is a commitment to kingdom building for Christ. So as we now have an opportunity, I hope that you will come forward. That's what this nice basket here is for. You have an opportunity to come forward and make your commitment to the kingdom of God. And through that commitment, Lakeside United Methodist Church will be able to reach out to the hurting in our world. And the hurting within our own doors, within this building. There are people in this building right now that are hurting. So as we now have time, I invite you all to come forward. Now, really would encourage you, I hope you spend some meal time in contemplating what God is calling you to do this morning. And as you've made that commitment, spend some time here at the altar ring. A time of giving to God. Wendell, if you would, let me start with a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to serve the kingdom of God, Father. We love you, and we are willingly not under duress this morning to give to you. Let there be a revival within our hearts. Let this be an opportunity for us to support the kingdom of God through our tithe this morning. Father, I pray this in the holy and precious Savior, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Come forward as you feel better this morning.